Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Show with the WBA game. And tonight I am joined by that London guy. It's Carl. Say hello, Carl.
Hello, Carl.
You sit. Oh, winner straight off of the bat. You okay, pal?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, Jason?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. I'm not too bad. I'm, another win. Happy days. Happy days. Looking forward to tonight?
Yes, I love talking about Arsenal when they win. Hate talking about when they lose. We won today, so let's get on with it.
Superb, superb. Also, we're joined by the Tinder King himself. It's John Welsh.
You all right, Chase? How you doing, man?
Oh, yeah, good, mate. Good, good. Looking forward to talking to you two reprobates tonight. Yeah. Do you enjoy the game?
Yeah, good, mate. The game was, interesting. It was more of a game than I thought it'd be, at least the first half, anyway. I didn't think West Brom would play quite like that, but, good result in the end, so enjoyable.
Brilliant. Okay, let's kick off. First and foremost, let's mention Gareth Barry, his 633rd Premier League appearance. That's a hell of a record for a player who so many gives such stick to. He's been a top player, he's won league titles, he's won trophies, never blessed at pace, but really intelligent and highly skillful, and wanted by so many managers and rated highly by his teammates and opponents alike. Anything to say on that, Carl?
I think anyone who can get that many appearances in the Premier League, you have to take your hat off to them. He's not even been a journeyman. He's played at Aston Villa and also City, West Brom and City. So, he's always played at a certain level. So congratulations to him, seriously. Like, he's always been someone just under the radar. If you used to talk about the best midfielders in the Premier League over a period of time, you'd never put him in there. But if you talk about consistent midfielders, he'd always be there. So, congratulations to him. You know what I mean? So you can't really sniff your nose at what he's done. Good achievement.
No, absolutely.
Oh, Jace, hello.
Sorry.
There we go. He's muted himself.
Sorry, John. And then send Gareth Barry.
No, just really to echo what Carl said. He's had a really impressive career. He is a little bit underrated. I think Man City is probably the biggest club he's been at in terms of winning things. I think probably he's a bit overlooked because he went there when everyone just assumed old players are only going there for money and nothing else, not because they're actually good footballers. But I'm fairly sure, I think Wenger looked at him a couple of times and maybe tried to sign him once. I think it might have been when he went to City. It's an amazing achievement. And when you look at the list of players that he's now overtaken and that are in that, in the league that have got that many or less than him now, like Giggs, Frank Lampard and stuff, it's all the very, very best players who've done stuff at the top of the game. So, yeah, it's a great achievement.
Yeah, I always find it funny when people are derogatory about him. He's a great player. He's not a Messi, but he's been superb at what he's done throughout his career. And he's always conducted himself in a superb manner. I got a lot of time for him. But I genuinely wish we'd have signed him. I think he'd have been a good attribute to our squad at any point. Okay, let's get straight into the lineups. And actually, I'm going to stick with you on this, John. No Ozil again.
Yeah.
What did you think of the lineup, and what do you think of Ozil being on the bench?
The lineup was basically as I predicted, minus Mesut. I thought Ramsey would probably play next to Xhaka instead of Elneny, and it would be Ozil in Ramsey's spot. So I was a little bit surprised. As for the rest of the team, I think it's pretty much what everyone expects now. That's, you would say, one player off our best 11, probably. You could have an argument maybe whether Per could be in there at times as one of the back three, certainly, but I think it's just being precautionary with Mesut. You didn't need him for this game necessarily. You know, we should be able to beat West Brom without him, and we did. And it gave Ramsey a chance to show what he can do higher up the pitch. You know, I know everyone knows he likes running from deep, but just he can affect the game a little bit more and be a bit more creative further up. And I thought he had a really good game in there tonight. And Elneny came into midfield alongside Xhaka and did really, really well. And it keeps Mesut fit for if we are going to play him in the, is it Barté we're playing on Thursday?
Yeah.
If he's going to play in that, then that's great. European football, I think, certainly suits him better than playing in the Premier League. But maybe he doesn't even have to play in that game. He might not need to. There's certain games, I think, where you don't have to have that kind of luxury flair player. Because West Brom, I don't think they were dirty or anything tonight, but they are a physical team and they are going to try and bully you a little bit. And that doesn't necessarily suit Mesut. And also, it's one of those games where if, you know, it had gone to the usual sort of script where maybe we're struggling a little bit to break them down, they're very, very defensive and sitting 10 men behind the ball, where you can bring on a Mesut Ozil with 15 minutes to go, and they are a little bit tired and there's a little bit more space for him to work in. So he can maybe open up and find the goal that we need. Luckily, we didn't need that tonight. So I thought it was a good decision from the manager. It was a little bit of a surprise, but it worked out perfectly.
Brilliant, brilliant. We're going to give a quick welcome to Dean Morley. He's a first-time listener from the US. Welcome, Dean. Nice to see you. I noticed Stephen Edwards is warning you about not giving US supporters a bad name. Stephen's already given Ramsey grief. Tayo Adele, we all know Ramsey's a selfish source. Tayo, what's your language? Don't be a twat. Carl, the game kicked off. We looked quite good. Sanchez free kick early doors from a Dawson foul. Sanchez seemed to be playing with a smile on his face straight from the off. What do you think?
He played with a little bit of swagger today, which is quite good. I was impressed. In the first half, I was impressed with him. He's been Sanchez. He's still giving the ball away, unfortunately. But it was nice to see him, if he does give the ball away, chase it down. He's one of the few players that, if he does give it away, he will hunt for that ball to get it back. I thought he was doing the basic things right, which was what we require from Sanchez. Is we arguably he's the best player in the squad, you know. So what we want from him is to just get his head down and play. Whatever's going on off the pitch, that shouldn't affect on the pitch. So he should just get on with the game. And that's what he seemed to do today. He just seemed to just play the game as it should be played. I felt today that he's towards the end of the first half, I was very scared because he talked himself into a yellow card. I'll probably bring that up later. It was, and then he just wouldn't let it go. And then when he grabbed the referee, I was like, oh, for God's sake. Like, and, you know, to be fair, if the referee had taken action against that, we couldn't have a complaint, but, you know, he didn't, and he got on with the game and just played it as it should be played.
Yeah, he was brilliant and frustrating all at the same time, wasn't he? His skill level is through the roof. A bit too much showboating at times, but it was a hell of an effort off the free kick. He was a bit unlucky. Jove82, welcome from Belgium. Nice to see you here. Kelly Mars in the box, as usual. No comment other than that. And with that dirty laugh, John, let's come on to you. Pretty early, they had a penalty shout with Rodriguez. Talk me through it.
That was bizarre, the whole sort of sequence of events. I mean, building up to it, it was very slack that early in the game to be pushed so high up the pitch. It's what teams like West Brom, Leicester, anyone really coming to the Emirates other than the big boys, want you to do. They want to draw you on to draw us onto them and then try and get in behind. And they were quite brave tonight, West Brom. They had Rodriguez and Kanu up front. So, you know, it's very rare you see two strikers up front now, not just in the Premier League, but around Europe. So I thought it was interesting they went for that. You know, it was a good ball over the top from, was it Krychowiak? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he's a very, very good player. Surprised West Brom managed to get him. you know, and Jay Rodriguez, who I've forgotten, to be honest, had gone there. Everyone probably remembers him from Southampton more than anywhere else. And, you know, made a good run. Mustafi completely stepped out and shouldn't have. Looked like he'd made a bit of recovery, you know, got back into the box with him. And then just did the worst thing you can do as a centre-back, go into ground. You know, it's always stay on your feet. You know, you should have just stayed on his feet. Rodriguez, if he tries to turn, just show him outside, show him to the line. The totally wrong thing, wiped him out. And luckily for us, Rodriguez just got back up on his feet and took the shot. And credit Petr Cech as well, because when you saw the replay, I thought Rodriguez just had a really good shot and hit the post, but Cech actually got a fingertip and pushed it onto the post. So luckily Jake Livermore, that ex-spud, was running onto it and put it well wide, thankfully. But yeah, what on earth Mustafi was doing? I don't understand the referee's decision in this. If he's played advantage, which obviously it looks like he's done, because Mustafi's clearly fouled him, it's quite clearly a penalty. Why has he not gone back and booked him afterwards? Now, I'm not moaning now because I'm an Arsenal fan, so it's great news for us. You know, they didn't get a penalty and Mustafi didn't get booked because he had a couple of dodgy moments tonight. But it just was so weird. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. If the ref didn't see it, did the lino not see it? Surely, because there was no one blocking his view. I don't ever remember anything like a penalty decision. It was like that clear cut and also nothing at all happening afterwards. Like no callback for the foul, no booking, no talking to afterwards. He just played on as if absolutely nothing happened. And it was just like all natural play. So, I mean, I don't know, credit Rodriguez, I guess, for getting back on his feet. But if he'd stayed down and been cynical, maybe he gets it. I don't know. I don't know what Pulis said to him at half-time, because that must have been really confusing, because, you know, he beat his man, should have won a foul, and got back up on his feet and had a really good shot that was only prevented by a brilliant save from Cech. So I'm not sure he did anything wrong. Bobby Madley had an interesting night, I thought. He made a few odd decisions. For the most part, I thought he actually was quite good and he let a lot go and let the game flow quite nicely. But that was just so weird. But yeah, for me, that was a stonewall penalty. There's no argument about it.
Okay, Carl, your opinion, because I missed this part of the game, funny enough. My stream went down right when this happened. So, Carl, your opinion, do you agree with John?
I whenever we get a decision like that, I always look at it from a different point of view. So if that was an Arsenal penalty, would I be mad? And I would be fuming that that's not a penalty. Like John said, I don't know what's going on in the referee's head, how he's not given that as a penalty. It was stonewall penalty, and West Brom have the right to feel aggrieved, if I'm really honest. Like John said, if he did play the advantage afterwards, there was no advantage. So why is he not brought it back? That's what I don't understand. So in my point of view, yes, the player got up, Jay Rodriguez, and credit to him. You know, if he had stayed down, I think he 100% would have got the penalty, but he tried to score, he got up, and a brilliant save from Petr Cech. And Jake Livermore tried to again score and he didn't. Fuck you, Jake. But at the same time, the referee, I have no idea what he's thinking. Like, I just don't understand why he has not brought the play back. And like John said, oh, even booked Mustafi, because that is 100% penalty, no doubt about it. There's not even like to think, oh, we didn't really touch him, or maybe not. No, he brought him down 100%. And Mustafi, again, diving in, you know, it's something that's really bad in his game, where he just dives in all the time. You know, like, again, John said, we didn't need to be that high up the pitch. There was no need for us to be that high up the pitch, but it's just the Arsenal way. And Mustafi, I think he got caught out. And, yeah, if I was West Brom, I would be pissed right now that he didn't get the penny. But I don't support West Brom, so I don't care.
Okay, the only question I have for the both of you, and I'll come to the both of you one by one. Carl, you first. Do you think, you know, they had two chances with the Rodriguez and Livermore effort. Was that not enough advantage?
No, because I'm going to look at this from an Arsenal point of view now. So the advantage would be the one shot on goal, and okay, Petr Cech saved it, and then Jake Livermore put it wide. That's not that's not an advantage. If I was Arsenal, I'd want the play to be brought back, because that's what you usually do. So if that's in the middle of the field and someone got fouled, the referee would play an advantage. If that ball then got cut out or went out of play, then the play would come back. So for me, the referee should have brought it back to the penalty.
But they've had two good efforts on goal, okay, or two clear-cut efforts on goal, okay, which they should have scored from. Yeah, I'm just asking the question here. You know, John, is that not enough advantage?
Maybe. I don't know what the rule is with penalties and advantage, to be honest. I don't know if there's a different bit of law for that part of the game. I've got no idea. So if it's like the rest of the pitch, then yeah, they've been given the advantage, but then surely Mustafi should still be booked for a foul. Because even if you give advantage, you still go back afterwards and book the player. But yeah, honestly, I mean, Noah put in the chat that, you know, maybe the ref just didn't see it at all. But I can't understand how the referee and the lino didn't see it. I know it's on our right-hand side, so the linesman's the other side. But there's no one else to block his view. So it's very, very strange, just the whole thing. And the other thing with it as well is, like, the West Brom players didn't even seem to, like, protest it that much. The game just sort of went on, and it wasn't like it was a sort of iffy foul. He clearly took his leg out, so it was just very strange. Because I tell you, if that was us, we would have gone nuts. I would be listening to Jason voice messages for the next 20 minutes of the game, doing his nuts, screaming. And
I think it was Steve.
Oh yeah, Steve would have been like, "Dave, referees hate us. It's a conspiracy."
I just wish everybody in the chat box could listen, be in our WhatsApp group. Oh my god! Yeah. To be fair to Steve, he's consistent with the voice messages. Whenever I see Steve is typing, I nearly have a heart attack. You know, it just doesn't happen. Okay, Carl, I'm going to come back to you now. We went on. Sanchez free kick for Johnny Evans foul. Yeah, it was a foul. I thought maybe a little harsh, but Sanchez takes a free kick, comes off the bar. Lacazette really sharp, doing what we don't often do, following the ball and just nailing it. Talk me through it.
Yeah. It's what we're almost crying out for, a fox in a box, someone who's going to do that. Most of our strikers tend to always play deep, never play on the shoulder of the last defender. You say it was a foul on Sanchez. Again, I thought it was soft. I did, but do you know what? Like I said, I support Arsenal, so I don't care. And it was a good free kick. I think it was a very, very good free kick. I kind of wanted Xhaka to take it, to be honest, because I thought it suited more a left footer than it did a right footer. But I think Sanchez pulled rank on it. And I think at the moment, no one was really wanting to argue with Sanchez. And when it hit the bar, I thought, oh, unlucky. But then, like, none of the West Brom players moved. Only Lacazette moved. And even when he headed it, I thought to myself, oh, God, the goalkeeper's going to scoop it out. Because I thought he had the whole other side of the goal to aim for. But it seemed to aim towards Ben Foster. But, you know, credit where credit's due. You have to be in that space to try and get the opportunity. And he got the opportunity and he took it with both hands or his head, if you want to be that way.
Yeah, yeah. John, your opinion on WBA defending on that free kick? Because, as Carl says, they were playing statues.
Yeah, that's very unlike West Brom. It was a great free kick and... I don't know, maybe the players just kind of go with the, oh, Foster will save it or Sanchez will score, and they just don't react. So I'm sure Pulis tore into him for that, because that's one of the things we know he drills his players on, reacting and being in the right position and everything. But that's why I like Lacazette so much. Like Carl said, he's always moving, always in the right spot. He knows where the ball's going to fall. He always tries to get his body in the right position early and everything. And he's just the first one in there. But yeah, from their point of view, that was really poor. Just no one tracking the ball. They should immediately be reacting to that as soon as Sanchez's foot's connected to it. But they're just so slow to it. It's very unlike them, to be honest. But that, against those teams that are so strong defensively, I think West Brom were probably like in the top five or six in terms of defence for the league last season, like their record for clean sheets and stuff. Then you've got to take those chances. And we did that today, which we've been a bit guilty of in the past, of kind of wasting those efforts, because we didn't have a lot in the first half, did we?
No, to be fair, we've been very guilty of it. Just a quick couple of shout outs. That black guy, MJL, Carlito El Guna. Who else is there? Oh, God, Ben. There's a lot of you who are always there. I'm just going to try to shout out some new people today. You know, welcome to the chat box. It's good to have you here. We moved on then. The games, we were kind of dominating. The link play between the top three and the midfield, I thought, was really effective. It was superb. A special shout out to El Nene, who I thought had a great game. I thought he was...
He was very good.
He was superb start to finish. You know, a la Sanchez, every give the ball away once or twice. You know, we were a little sloppy at times, but I thought El Nene was really proactive in his running, didn't stop, and he was the better of the two midfielders. What was your opinion on that, Carl?
I thought Nene was the best player almost on the pitch today, apart from, like I said, with his two goals. I thought when you want a midfielder, you just want someone to almost just sit and just sweep up all the stray passes, get a foot in and pass the ball, pop it off. And that's what he was doing today. He wasn't trying to do anything fancy. He was literally just sitting and being a genuine CM. And that's what we've been crying out for a while. I thought him and Xhaka linked up very, very well today. Xhaka had a few stray passes, but I thought him and El Nene today played well together, and the link up, like you said, between him and Ramsey, because there were times where Ramsey was again dropping into the midfield and making it a three in midfield, which I thought was absolutely brilliant from him. He's sort of now knowing when to sit, when to go forward, and it's something that I think is obviously been told to him, but I think that's the way to go forward should be a three midfield, but then it's a case of dropping one of your best players, whether it be a Sanchez or an Ozil.
That's fair enough. I thought the speed of thought with the top three, John, was, you know, it didn't quite click every time, but you could see the way they were thinking, the way they were trying to link up. I thought that was pretty special. Did you think that it was going to start to click at that point?
Yeah, you can see little flashes of it. It was kind of like when you first saw Ozil and Alexis start to play together. It hadn't quite clicked, but you can see little glimpses of little passes they were trying to do that no one else was quite doing. And you saw that again tonight. I thought there was one or two times where, like, Ramsey would let the ball, look like he was going to take a pass, he'd let it go through his legs because he knew Alexis or Laka was there, and Lacazette was doing the same thing because he knew Alexis was coming in from the left wing and he'd get onto it. And it was just half a yard off here, or they just timed it a little bit wrong, some of the runs and the passes and stuff. But the fact that they're noticing them and trying and attempting them, it just shows you that they're getting that confidence up and that speed of thought. And you know, Alexis, since he's come back in the team, he hasn't been at his best, but tonight he looked much better. He was still, you know, doing some of the frustrating things, like Carl said, but you saw some of the times there where he lost the ball, but he'd go back and he'd win it, and then he'd run at the defence, and he'd take two players out, and then lay a brilliant ball inside for someone, for a runner going on, you know, stuff like that, and doing those sort of stopping the play all of a sudden, making the defence stop and waiting for a runner to get in behind, like Ramsey'd done a couple of times. So I thought it was really good. The interesting thing is that Lacazette, you know, he moves a lot, and a couple of times we saw him come out to the wing, but mostly he does actually stay quite central, which I wasn't expecting as much, just because he is a quicker player. I thought he'd be a bit more, he'd move about a lot more than he does. Not that I have a problem with it, because his movement is just generally is within the width of the 18-yard box, and that's where he wants the ball, and that's where he wants to affect play. So that's a really good thing, because sometimes Giroud, when he's up top, he drops in a little bit deep to try and get involved and stuff like that. So I like actually having that player up there. But yeah, it's exciting to watch. The really exciting thing is that we haven't really seen Lacazette, Ozil and Alexis all on the pitch together for, you know, a long period of time. So that's the one everyone really, really wants to see, because if you can get them free working and clicking together, you already know Ozil and Alexis can do it. And if you're starting to get that connection there between Alexis and Lacazette, you know that Ozil's going to be on the same wavelength as all three of them. And you're going to see some really spectacular forward play football.
Well, if people decide to turn up. The one thing that annoyed me about them was, and Sanchez, Ramsey and Lacazette were all guilty of this at times, they pissed and moaned a bit when they didn't get the ball, which annoys me slightly, but I do understand it. There were some obvious balls. All three of them didn't play to each other.
there was a few times when it was like, yeah, I'm going to score the goal here. You're not getting it. Yeah, there was one from Lacazette where he could have... Actually, I didn't mind him taking the shot, but he could have squared it to Ramsey and it probably was an easier chance. But it's something that for the past 10 years, we've all been complaining about, just shoot. And now we're moaning that he didn't pass it. So, I'm not going to complain about it too much because they're all trying to score goals. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, one thing that did surprise me in the first half, Carl, is we've mentioned about Elneny, but we didn't play with much width in the first half because everything went through Elneny. He was that good in the first half that we didn't use Kolasin that job. We didn't use Hector that much. Do you think that's testament to his performance?
Yeah, it's credit to him. I think once you're playing well, your teammates want to pass you the ball. I guess it works the same way when you're not playing well. You know, your teammates kind of avoid passing the ball to you. But when you're on your game and you're playing well, then of course you're going to get the ball much more. I felt that our build-up play was a little bit slow in the first half as well. I just felt that there were times when we could have got a break on West Brom and we just didn't use the ball to our advantage. I felt that, I don't know if you noticed recently, Arsenal, they tend to pass the ball back a hell of a lot lately. And I don't know if it's because they just don't want to give up possession. So rather than sort of almost pump a ball into the box or hit a long ball forward or a long pass forward, they'd rather build up the play again from the back. So it may, go wide. It may go wide, go back into the centre, go wide, go back into the centre, and then go back. And then we start trying to build up again. And it kind of sometimes is a bit frustrating because West Brom today hit a few long passes, which kind of got in behind. And we've got like fast players. So you'd think that we'd be able to get in behind, but it's just something that Arsenal just don't do.
Yeah. At that point, West Brom got back into the game a bit more. They had a couple of breaks. One where Ramsey gave the ball away in his own half. We didn't stop the run. And it ended up with a fantastic clearance off the line from Monreal. I can't remember who took the shot. John, that clearance kind of typified Monreal's performance, didn't it? He was quite magnificent today.
Yeah, he was brilliant. The speed he moved at a couple of times as well was really impressive, especially considering his age. You know, he's been at the club quite a while now, and I think after he started brightly and then he dipped down and he had that sort of iffy season. Ever since going into this centre-back role, certainly since we played with a back three, he's really impressed me. And he's keeping Mertesacker out of the back three. You know, that kind of the system we've got really suits Perth, especially to play in the middle and having someone like Mustafi and Koscielny either side of him. But Monreal's playing so well at the moment, you really can't drop him. So that clearance was just brilliant. The Cech comes out and does what he can do, to try and make it difficult. I think it was Rodriguez again, who had a really good game actually for West Brom. And Monreal just reads it perfectly. He just knows I've got to be there. I've got to be in position for it. I think he makes this. Cech made the save, and then Rodriguez came in with the header. And tries to put it across goal, and it just really, really impressive. Very easily could have put that in. His own. Yeah. It's not just being on the line; it's getting back in time, in the correct position, and then managing to lift it over the bar as well. You know, he had to jump up in the air to get a connection onto that and a really good clean one. He had a great game tonight, and I've seen lots of people saying that Nacho, like, the man of the match. I do really think it was between him and Elneny. I'm not sure I actually got it on the night, but he's superb. And poor Jay Rodriguez must have been completely pulling his hair out at the end of that game, wondering how he didn't score.
To be honest, fuck Jay Rodriguez. What?
I just want to shout out quickly, Jace. Absolutely brilliant. Lacazette has tweeted. This is superb. You see it on his Twitter. Two goals, so... And then it's got ... Doping control, ... A nice picture of himself being drug tested after the game.
Nice. That's the way forward, isn't it? We came on then. There was another opportunity for West Brom, Carl, where on the right-hand side, a cross goes into the box, Carl Robson-Kanu has got nobody on him, and he's Monreal's man, I think. And Rodriguez misses. You know, we'd played so well. I really like the fact we've got Mustafi in the middle, a proper ball player. You know, Monreal on the left of him has been great. Koscielny, I think, has been superb. You know, a couple of little rash things, but he's been superb in this back three. Why do we leave out concentration drop to allow Hal Robson-Kanu free?
Because it's what Arsenal do. Jason, you sound surprised that we haven't been doing this for 10 years. Our defensive concentration, we just switch off all the time. And there was more than once when, you know, the player at the back post was totally free. And you're thinking to yourself, like, where on, I know we're watching it from an elevated angle on TV, but you're thinking to yourself, look at the man at the back post. You look at the man at the back post, we're shouting this, but yet still the players on the pitch can't see it, or it's just not taken up, which is a bit frustrating at times. You're thinking to yourself, like you, Jason, I like the fact that Koscielny plays on the right and Mustafi plays in the middle, because I think that when Koscielny plays on the right, he's constantly talking to Bellerin, because obviously he needs that sort of coaching when you're on the pitch as well. He's young and he's still learning his trade. So I'm a fan of that. But at the same time, you're thinking to yourself, Koscielny, you're the captain, organise the team. You should be able to look at the team and organise and say, do you know what? This is how we're going to do it. Every man should pick up a player. I know we play, we don't play man for man. We mark space. And for me, I hate that, because space doesn't score goals. Men score goals. So I just think it's pointless. But it's a little frustrating at times where it happens time and time and time and time again, especially to what happened to West Brom last season when we lost 3-1 or 3-0? Can't remember. Which
one it was.
And it was like three set piece goals. So you're thinking to yourself, right, let's brush up on our marking, because we know what's going to happen. We know what West Brom are going to bring to the party. But I mean, luckily they didn't do anything like that at all today. I thought the times that we did have to sort of deal with their aerial threat, we did it quite well. But there was always that scare, that heart in the mouth moment that you didn't want to happen.
Yeah, to be fair, we came under pressure in the end of that second half, and you could see us a little bit nervous. John, there were a couple of incidents. One where Kolasinac gets in between the ball and his man, gets a bit of a push, falls on the ball, handles it. You know, now, yeah. I haven't often seen a free kick. They normally get the free kick whenever they do that. There's a free kick went against him. Then we had Sanchez having a go at Bobby Madley and getting a yellow card. And it did seem at one point when he touched him, and he wasn't aggressive. It was more silly than anything. And I think his mourning had upset Madley. But, you know, he could have had a red. Cause was called over. We were creaking a little bit, weren't we? You know, it ended up with Hector, you know, check on the save from Hector, nearly an own goal to end the second half. I mean, what were your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I felt a little bit surprised, because we got the early goal and I thought, well, this is perfect, because West Brom have got to come out a little bit. To be fair to them, they were quite attacking from the start of the game, so not a lot had really changed for them. So I was hoping, you know, just be sensible and settle down, keep the game ticking over for, you know, 5-10 minutes and then go at them again. But we didn't. And I thought they had the better chances after we scored in the first half, at least anyway. You know, Cech actually had to put some saves in. I can't really remember Foster having to sort of stretch for one or anything like that. So it was a little bit worrying. Surprising, no, because everyone's sort of thoughts on the seasons have kind of been, well, you know, we'll see how we go, because not everyone's totally convinced. I knew that was going to be difficult, but it's like Cole said, you know, last season we had all the problems from set pieces. I actually thought, other than that one where Hal Robson-Kanu was free in the box, I actually thought from corners and stuff, we did quite well. I thought it was funny that it was Kieran Gibbs taking the set pieces, because I can tell you what, there's one thing he didn't learn at Arsenal, Tony Pulis, is how to take a good set piece delivery. No. So that kind of pleased me a little bit. It was nice to see Gibbs back, and it's good to see he got a good reception as well from the crowd when he went over to take the corners and stuff. That was really nice to see. But Yeah, I thought, you know, if the game went on for another 5-10 minutes, I don't think West Brom wanted the half-time whistle. We certainly looked like we wanted it more. So I felt a little bit fortunate, at the end of the first half, after the, you know, penalty shout that they didn't get, you know, the fact that Mustafi didn't get booked, and the way that Bobby Medley had sort of ref the game, like you said about, you know, it was quite physical. Normally it would be Kolasinac getting the free kick, but instead it's actually, no, you've just been out-muscled and you've gone down and put your arm away and you've touched the ball, so that's a handball.
But it was
going both ways, though. It weren't just West Brom players. There was a few Arsenal lads who were, you know, flying in with the elbows or shoulders, I should say. And that's, I don't have a problem with that. If both teams can do it and they're getting away with it, that's fine. I think, you know, I like the physical side of the game. So,
There's a point I want to ask you here now, up until towards sort of halfway through the game, so two-thirds of the game, yes, both teams are doing it. I thought Madley let a lot go, but there were, you know, all of a sudden you had Livermore, Dawson, Evans. There were some, I can't remember, Hengazi or whatever his name is. There were a lot of niggly fouls he allowed to go. Alexis suffered the brunt of a few of them, and Madley let them go, and they were clear fouls. They weren't, you know, sort of 50-50s. They were clear fouls. And he allowed too much to go. Did that affect Alexis?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think, if anything, when he gets those sort of niggly fouls, he had the moan, obviously, at the ref, which is bad. And you should never put your hands on a referee. It's just that. I mean, I think in the rules, they're allowed to give you a straight red for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was really stupid. But I think just because the way he refereed the game up to that point, you could see Alexis's frustration. I thought it was actually good refereeing that he didn't just react to go bang straight away, there's a red card. No, I'm not going to do that. He could have done that and he would have been perfectly within his rights to. But he actually said, no, I'm going to call over captain, just have a word with him, calm him down. He's had the yellow, just needs to calm down a bit. I actually thought that was good refereeing, because when you speak to referees, I know some people think, you know, there's referees that hate Arsenal or this team or that team or whatever. I really don't buy that at all. I think it's nonsense. And I think for the most part, referees just want the game to go on, finish with 11 players on both sides and actually be a good match to watch. And they like it being physical as well, because they think it makes it more entertaining. They don't want it to be, you know, the way it's changed. So I think if anything, after Alexis had that little chat, you saw in the second half, you know, maybe he's already had half time to come down a bit. When he gets those little niggly fouls, he gets wound up and he gets annoyed. But you get the other side of Alexis. You get the, right, you've annoyed me now, so I'm going to make a complete mug of you and nutmeg you. Who was it? Jake Livermore, wasn't it? And, you know, and other players like that. And, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be about 5'7". You're both going to be 6+. I'm going to bring a ball down in the air, juggle it, muscle both of you off the ball and turn you insides out and put in a brilliant cross. So I'm just going to completely outdo you with class and skill. And just keep kicking me and see what happens. And that's what he did. He reacted the right way after that.
He did showboat and look like a mug on a couple of occasions, though.
Okay,
Akash Guha from Canada. Hello, Jim Housen's in the box. Sam Dewhurst, Coz has been our best defender this decade. I'd be surprised if he doesn't have leadership skills. I think leadership skills and communication skills are two different things. I think that's got to be said. I can't comment as leadership skills because, you know, you're not in the dressing room, so to speak, but on the pitch, he's clearly not a great communicator. Okay, so that was the end of the first half. Carl, second half, we came out, we had a real purpose about us. And a bit disappointing, Hector puts in a great cross. It flies across the face of the 6-yard box and nobody's following it up. Go on, talk to me about it.
Story of our game, really. For every good thing that happens, there's always sort of a contradiction, a bad thing that happens. And whereas I said, Lacazette was always the guy to play on the shoulder, and he showed that with the first goal. With the second goal, you're hoping that he would do that or someone would follow it up, because you almost got to react to what you think the player is going to do. So if you know that Bellerin's probably faster than anyone on the pitch, you know he can beat anyone for pace, you know he's going to be able to get a ball into the box, you got to kind of preempt what's going to happen there. And it's unfortunate that none of our players got into the box to get onto the end of that cross.
Yeah, it was frustrating. It was followed up fairly quickly by the Dawson yellow. It had been coming, hadn't it?
Yeah, it's just one of it was the tying up thing, I think. It was he, like we said, the referee let a few things go, but when you have too many fouls against you, there's got to be a time where the referee's got to pull you aside and say, all right, enough is enough. I let a few go. Now it's time for you to be cautioned and just calm yourself down and play the game as it should be and just not foul so much.
Yeah, but I got to be honest, I thought the yellow could have come a little bit sooner. You know, I thought there were a couple of them got away with a few challenges. Right, guys, we got about 130 people watching at the moment. Big thank you to everyone for joining us, as usual. Ryan Cost is in the box. JH, Arian H. Arian H says, Chris Carpenter is my dad, you poor bugger. Oh, my God. Talk about being all at sea. All at sea. Oh, that's... Oh,
dear, that's terrible, Chase.
Arian, we feel for you. We feel for you. Yeah. As I say every week, every time I do this, all the guys, Carl, John, Chris, Danny, Josh, Ellis, Shredder, everybody gives up their time for nothing. If you could give us a thumbs up, we'd really appreciate it. If you don't think we're that good, give us a thumbs down. That's fine. But, you know, we do appreciate you, you know, being part of this. Without you, it's nothing. So thank you ever so much. Kevin Uranda asks, where's Chris? I think he's dogging somewhere in Plymouth at the moment. You know, him and the sailors down the seafront with the jolly boys. You know, Chris likes a big thumbs up, guys. Come on, just show him some love. No, Chris will be back on Thursday. On Thursday night, the lineup will be Chris, Danny, and Ellis. Ellis will be fresh back from South Africa. So that'll be one to watch. So it should be great. John, a really great bit of skill from Klasinac, ball into El Nene, a sweet pass to Lacazette, and Gibbs gets in and makes the block. Lovely bit of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very impressive, I thought. El Nene in particular, obviously we'd already spoken about how good he had been and some of the play he'd done. And I think what he showed tonight was a different side of his game we haven't really seen a lot before, which was he was a lot more creative. He was getting advanced a lot more. Yeah, we're against West Brom, we're at home, so we're expected to be, you know, the attacking team. But it's Ramsey as the midfielder, you know, getting into the box normally. But Elneny tonight, because he was on the pitch as well and Xhaka's behind him, he was allowed that bit more freedom. And he really expressed himself well tonight. And some of his little passes and through balls, I thought was really good. And just generally the build-up in the whole team tonight was really impressive. It was disappointing, obviously, Lacazette couldn't quite finish that off, but good covering round from Gibbs. I was about to say he learned at Arsenal, but I don't know, maybe. but yeah, just again, another really nice period of play that we haven't seen. You know, we obviously had the Chelsea game, which was a very, very good defensive performance. But there wasn't so much going forward. Tonight, we got to see some exciting attacking play, which we haven't seen a whole ton of this season so far. So we just want to see more of it. And it's nice to see players who you don't expect it from, because it's something I haven't really seen from Elneny before. You know, we know he's a very solid midfielder and he's very, you know, he can do the box to box, he can do all the running and stuff, but he's a very much a 7 out of 10 kind of player normally. He's just he's a good squad player, he's reliable. But he had a little bit of flair and sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Ingenuity in his sort of his game and his passing tonight.
Yeah, it's some of his passing was, you know, some of his crossfield balls were superb tonight. I thought he really rushed. He took the mantle of a midfield which really played well and, you know, outplayed the Chelsea midfield on Sunday. And, you know, he took it, you know, he took on the challenge. He deserves a lot of credit tonight. Carl, Monreal joins the attack at one point and just puts a blistering run in through the middle, linking up with Sanchez, it was, sorry. You know, he didn't just play well defensively, Monreal. He really adds something to our attack when he gets forward, doesn't he?
His run today reminded me of Ramsey's run against Chelsea, because it was almost in that slow motion and you're sort of like watching it going, go on, go on, go on. And you kind of willing the ball to go to burst the back in the net. I mean, it wasn't meant to be, unfortunately, but Monreal is the centre-back new position is suiting him, and it's very good. I'm kind of glad that he's now found a new role, because I think when he played left back, I don't think he had the energy or the legs to get up and down the wing all the time. I mean, he never played badly when he played left back, not at all. But I just don't think he was at his best. I think now when he's playing centre back, he doesn't have to run so much, so he can conserve his energy, so we can do the things that he needs to do, more defensive work, rather than having to think about, oh, I have to join the attack now, I have to get forward, or I have to get back now because the team's breaking on us. I think he's playing wisely. You know, he's getting older, and maybe he hasn't got the legs anymore to be up and down that wing all the time. So I think it's good that he's found a new position and he's making it his own as well.
Yeah, I think as well, he's actually got coverage in front of him with Kolasinac, and that helps. You know, when he's at left back, he got sold on the river quite a lot of times with no cover in front of him. And you know, I mean, Gibbs, when he was with us, he got caught with that as well, you know. And if you haven't got cover in front of you, it makes a good player look bad at times. So, you know, give him a bit of credit there. I'm going to stick with you on this, Carl. There was a sharp corner from Sanchez with Mustafi flicking on near post. Good save from Foster. Lovely bit of skill from all involved. Need to see more of that. What do you think?
I liked it. I was a fan of it. Because if that had gone in, that would have been an absolute peach of a goal. You know, and it's nice for us to try things like that. You know, not many teams do. And I've noticed that he tried it again a couple of minutes later. And you know, I'd love for us to try things like that, because we are not the best at taking corners, are we? Like, for all our height in the team, we're not the best set piece taker. So for us to try different things, and if they work, they work. If they don't, at least we've tried. At least we're not just still trying to float the ball into the box and never getting past the first man. This time we're actually aiming for the first man and we're actually doing well with it. And that Mustafi chance was on target. So, you know, credit to him.
Yeah, it was on target. It forced a save, which was really good to see. John Krzyzkowiak, there's a nasty little foul on Elneny. It did receive a yellow card.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's another one. He could have had a booking earlier. Yeah, they were quite, you know, the top. If it was done purely totting up, he should have had a yellow card, two fouls earlier, surely.
Yeah, again, it's just the way the referee has managed the game and decided to let things go, and then it's got to a point where he can't anymore. This is not defending West Brom or their decisions. The one criticism I would have of Arsenal is that when you see a referee managing a game in that way, what that says to me, if I'm a player, is, well, they are doing it to us. We can do it back to them, you know. And not saying that means it's, you know, it's fine to do it, but you have to play the game in the way the referees are allowing it to be played. So if you're getting niggly fouls, you can give a niggly foul back to the opposition. You know, we're going to have more of the ball, so it's more likely us being fouled, but sometimes you've got to give a little bit back. So, he deserved the yellow, and, you know, you've got a couple of slow ones in, but, you know, that at the same time, you know, Kolasinac and Xhaka and Elneny should be, you know, well, one of them's given me studs down the back of the ankles, I'll have to give it back to you as well. It's part of the game sometimes, and you have to understand the temperament that the game's been played in. I don't think it was in any way a dirty game, but it was more, you know, tactical fouls trying to break up our consistency of play And the sort of fluidity of our move, which is one of the things I liked tonight. I thought we moved the ball much quicker, especially in the second half, because I thought we were a little bit slow in the first half to move things. We moved through the transition through the thirds a lot quicker in the second half, which really improved. And we started. That's when we really started to put a stamp on the game.
Yeah, we showed glimpses first half. Second half, we strung it together more, didn't we? Carl, there was I can't remember who passed to Sanchez, but there was a turn and cross on the run from Sanchez at one point. You know, quite magnificent skill. You know, as much as he was frustrating and he gave the ball away very sloppily at times and some of the stupid showboating. I'm more annoyed with the showboating. He didn't need to do it at those points in the game. You know, we know he's a skillful player. We know he's a fabulous player. But some of his skills tonight, he played with a smile on his face. It was a joy to watch.
Oh, I was on mute, sorry. That skill that you're talking about was absolutely brilliant. And if Lacazette, I wanted to hit it first time. I really did, because I think if he'd hit it first time, he would have scored. It was absolutely brilliant. That turn and the first time ball over, right over to the other side to Lacazette. It was just, this is why when he does things like that, you wonder why Arsene Wenger really wanted to keep him, because he can do things like that, which is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, with every sort of flicking tricks that he tries and he gives the ball away and he hunts it down, there's that time where it does come off. And then that time where it's just, for me, that was absolutely brilliant. And I think, you know, had Lacazette had taken the goal, taking the ball first time and scored, or he had scored, I think we would have talked more about the pass rather than the finish, because the pass for me was really, really good.
Yeah, superb, isn't it? John, yeah, West Brom played really well first half. Second half, we dominated them start to finish. But to be fair to Pulis, I think Pulis gets a bad rap. Yes, he's played some physical football in the past, but from his time at Crystal Palace onwards, he's tried to play good football. And he, at about 60-odd minutes, made attacking substitutions. Rondon and Morrison on for Livermore and Kanu. You know, what do you think of that?
I mean, I was surprised that he started with two strikers from the beginning of the game. I know Joe Rodriguez can play sort of as a wide man as well at times, but, you know, he started off with two up front in the game. So he obviously went in with a clear plan of having three in the middle, try and dominate the midfield if they can, you know, and then the two up front to try and disrupt a back three. So I thought that was really impressive. And then the substitutions as well. It's very easy for a team who are a goal down to go, oh, you know what, we're not really going to get much here. Maybe we can just solidify, hold it at 1-0 and try and get a set piece near the end and see if we can nick a goal for a draw or something.
Sorry, bear with me a second. Carl has deleted Papa Gooch. Anybody wants to put that fucking shit in our chat box, you're out here straight away. We don't put up with that crap, okay? I'm not going to repeat it, okay? This is the 21st century. If you're too fucking stupid to understand this is the modern world, if you're that full of vile shit hatred, okay, fuck off somewhere else. We're not going to put up with that crap. Papa Gooch, whoever you are, you're a piece of shit. Sorry, carry on.
No, fair play, mate. Spot on. Yeah, so, you know, Pulis, you know, I think he's trying to shake that tag that he had at Stoke. And I think even towards the end of his time at Stoke, he was trying to, you know, change things up a little bit. And perhaps he didn't have the money, or he wasn't, because of his name and the football associated with him, he didn't really have the opportunity to sign those kind of players. You know, there's decent players at West Brom. I think Rondon's, yes, he's big, he's physical, but he's decent. You know, he's quite a skillful player. You can see at times. Jay Rodriguez is a really good footballer, I think. Very underrated and kind of forgotten about because he had that long-term injury. You know, Robson Kanu, obviously, you know, from the national team, Jace, yeah. For Wales. You know, he's done some amazing things. Yeah, he's not the best player in the Premier League, but he's got skill, he's got ability. You know, he didn't perhaps show it at his best tonight. So, you know, fair play to Pulis, because I'd be very surprised if there's many other teams that will come to the Emirates this season and play with two men up front. It's not something you want to see very often, if at all, to be honest. So fair play to them. I agree. You know, first half, I thought, you know, yeah, they were physical, but I thought they were fair in all their challenges. And to be fair, I thought they were equal to us in the first half, at least anyway. And I thought if it had gone in at 0-0 or 1-1 at half time, I thought that probably would have been a fair reflection on the game. Second half, yeah, we turned it on and we knocked it up a gear and then showed our class. And that's what won us the game in the end. But yeah, first half, they were certainly equal to us.
Yeah, it's fair play to them. You know, you got to give them credit. This WBA team has evolved. And, you know, the same with the Gareth Barry business. A lot of people are dismissive of Pulis, Barry, etc. But these guys contribute, and they're not dirt trackers. You know, they're quality outfits. Okay, on to the penalty, Carl. Ramsey down the side, Nayon or whatever his name is, comes in. No attempt for the ball. He's played the man, no attempt for the ball. A lot of people saying it's soft. I think it's a clear penalty. What are your thoughts?
First of all, let's give Ramsey praise for that skill to get past him. He just totally turned him. So, you know, credit where credit's due. Well done, Aaron Ramsey. Had that been in the middle of the pitch, would that have been a foul? Very, very debatable. I can't see that. I don't know whether it be given. I mean, you're right what you're saying. There was no attempt. He tried to barge him off the ball without a shadow of a doubt. Do I think it was soft? I do think it was soft. I put the Arsenal spin on it, and I think to myself, had that been like Koscielny against Rodriguez, would I be happy about that? Yes, no, I'm not too sure. But at the end of the day, it was a penalty, you know, regardless of
when. Right, stop a second. Sorry, mate. This Papa Gooch is back here again. You are a piece of shit of a human being, okay? I hope you fucking roast in hell. Take care. Goodbye. Ta-ta. Carry on.
Yeah, so as I was saying, is that middle of the pitch, would that have been given as a foul? Well, we don't know. But at the end of the day, it was a penalty, a brilliant dispatch penalty. I'm not going to lie. When I saw the goalkeeper dive down to that side, I was like, oh, shit. But it was right in the corner. Brilliant. Like I said, it's our penalty taker. So, well done. You know, there's nothing much more you can say. Like I said, I want to give praise to Ramsey. Ramsey definitely, you know, he has to get credit for going past Nyon like that, because I think he was absolutely brilliant.
He keeps on going, doesn't he? The boy just keeps on going. John, your opinion on the whole penalty?
I thought it was soft. If it was, if that was an Arsenal defender who did that, I would say yes, you're a little bit stupid to edge across him. But I thought in the way the game had been played, and the way the game had been, more importantly, the way the game had been refereed, it just didn't make any sense that he gave that as a pen. So I thought it was soft. I don't have a problem with players going shoulder to shoulder, and if one's stronger than the other, you know, that's, you've got to toughen up a little bit. But it's the way football is now, so I see why it's been given. I didn't think it was a penalty. I thought there was other fouls and like shirt pulling, and a few players have been pulled down in the box at other points in the game that could have been given as a pen. So maybe it evens out. But it was just weird. And I think it maybe I'm being swayed slightly by the fact that I thought West Brom should have had a penalty in the first half. And that maybe, I don't know if that's sort of making me think it's not as clear a decision as it should have been. But I don't know. I just think if that was the other way around and it was against us, I'd be like, I'm not convinced that was a pen. I would think it was soft. So I'm trying to look at it from that point. But it's the way the game's going. It's in that direction. But it doesn't make any sense. The way the rest of the game was refereed so much more physically, okay, and just allowed to go. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to challenge you here, because Drunk Cart Phil has just put in here as well. there's going shoulder to shoulder and there's trying to smash someone off the ball, off the pitch, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no attempt for the ball, you know. There was no attempt for the ball whatsoever. And that's the reason I think it's a stone cold penalty.
Yeah, I just think it's like Carl said, if that's anywhere but in the box, the way the ref had let the game go, that's, yeah, shoulder to shoulder, he was stronger, and he lets it go. So it shouldn't be a different decision just because it's inside the box. The game should be refereed in the same way. I can't remember who it was. I think I was watching through, it might have been NBC or someone, but whoever it was doing the commentary anyway that I had, they made a really good point in saying how difficult it is for referees, especially now because of replays and all the new things coming in, VAR and everything else. And I do feel sorry for him because it's horrible. You'd have to pay me some serious, serious money to even consider doing what they do week in, week out, because they must get so much stick. But the only thing they can be asked to do realistically is referee consistently within 90 minutes, because there's so many rules now that are open to interpretation and individual interpretation, because someone, you know, there'll be the directors from the head referees and being splayed down to through, you know, filters through the system. But it's all going to be explained in a slightly different way and people are going to use slightly different wording, and that's going to be interpreted in a different way by the referee. So if he's ref the game in a very, very aggressive and letting things go manner, you should do it for the full 90, not for all of it. But if you're in the box, there's a slightly different rule. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not a penalty. I'm saying I thought it was soft in the context of the game compared to everything else that was going on. And I don't think everything else that was going on was particularly bad. In the long run, obviously, I'm glad we got the penalty because we got the second goal when I think it killed West Brom. I thought we were better second half anyway, but I think that really just put the nail in and then that was it. They were like, yeah, we know we're done now. And it gave us that tiny little bit, extra little boost and said, yep, sorted. We know we're comfortable. We're just going to use the ball now just to tire them out and see the game out now.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. You know, it's all perspective, isn't it? Mm. Okay, so back to you, Carl. We kept on pushing forward. Lacazette ignored Ramsey when he was free, trying to take it on. You can't kind of blame him. And I think the front three, you know, it's new to them, those three players playing with each other in that position. You had a Sanchez cross and Lacazette. Beautiful takedown. Unfortunately, he skied the shot. We were putting pressure on. We just didn't kind of get over the line at that point, did we?
No, but it was nice of us to see us put pressure on. It's something that's kind of fizzles out of our game sometimes. And, you know, when we're on top of a game, it's nice for us to take the lead and actually dominate a game. I mean, yes, I would love us to score 3, 4, 5 goals a game like other teams are doing. But at the end of the day, a win's a win. You know, whether you score 3 or 4 or 5 goals, you still only get 3 points for the win. You know, I very much doubt that it's going to come down to goal difference again for the league title. I can't see that happening again. But at the end of the day, as long as we win games, and that's what we need to do, we haven't had the best start of the season. You know, we lost 2 away games and, you know, it wasn't the best. But we're slowly coming back. And I think to draw away against Chelsea last week was absolutely brilliant. And like I said, I feel disappointed the fact that we got a draw at Chelsea, because I felt that we should have won the game. I felt that we had enough about us and I felt that we dominated for periods in that game that we could have actually come away with a win. You know, that's something I'd never thought I'd ever say, playing away to Chelsea. And I think what we need to do going forward now is just carry on doing what we're doing and just making sure that we're doing the basics right and we're winning games. Like, you know, this is a potential slip up for us, West Brom at home, but you know, we need to win these sort of games. And then next game we've got in the league is Brighton. We need to make sure we win against Brighton and just keep on progressing as we're doing. Because at this right moment, we can't worry about other teams. There's no point us worrying about what Man United are doing and what Chelsea are doing, what Man City are doing. Then until we play them, there's no point worrying about them.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, mate. Totally agree. Right, guys. We've got a few questions in already. If anybody else has got some questions, pop them in the box now. We got a couple of things to talk about, then we're wrapping it up with questions. John, Dawson challenge on Sanchez. How is it not a second yellow?
Again, it's come back to the way the ref has put the Graham on. I don't think he wants it to end with 10 men on one side. But yeah, that is but that is
it not a clear
yeah.
Is it was it not a clear yellow?
I mean, it is. I think it's the typical. If he wasn't booked, he'd get a yellow card for it and a serious sending off. Because he is booked, he doesn't want to book him because he doesn't want to send him off. It happens all the time. It shouldn't happen, but it's just the way things are done. I don't know why. You know, I don't particularly enjoy watching 10 men against 11. You know, it does ruin the game a little bit, but it just, it's stupid because it's not, you're not even allowed, even because you know, the thing with it is, Dawson actually, he did get the ball. It's not like he's just gone straight through the back of Alexis and, you know, and just completely ignored the ball. But you're not allowed to do that anymore. So it doesn't even matter whether he's made contact with the ball or not. So it should just be second yellow and you're off. But I think the referee's just gone, you know what, Alexis is okay. He hasn't injured him. Just finish the game out because West Brom are getting nothing out of it, which shouldn't be the way it's done. Don't get me wrong, shouldn't be that at all. He should have been off, but it's just what referees do now.
That's fair enough. Carl, as you've already said, you know, we went about business. There was a Bellerin effort. There was a Rambo one-on-one with Foster. I think he could have squared it to Lacazette. I'm not sure I've seen the replay on it. But yeah, we kept on searching for the third. Shame Ollie couldn't get the third. But he came on, he made an effort. Did you feel positive at the end of it?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, no matter what happens, as long as we've got the 3 points, that's what I wanted. We didn't start the game off the best, but we grew into the game, and that's what we need. We need positive results going forward. And you know, we got a long trip to Bate Borisov on Thursday, and you know, I hope whatever team we play out there, I hope we manage to have a good performance and a good results, and we come back on Sunday and play Brighton, and hopefully, like I said, just going forward, we just need more positive results. And you know, we're not going to win every single game from now to the end of the season. There are going to be times that we are going to lose, but as long as we don't lose badly or we bounce back and we don't lose by our stupidity or our mistakes, you know, as long as we play well and hopefully we can climb up the table. I mean, what's seventh now, but yeah, the table doesn't really take shape until Christmas anyway. After Christmas, that's when you need to start looking at the table and then start thinking, okay, now we're here, now we're there, we're X amount of points off the top, and we now have to start thinking about really playing well to get our asses up the table.
No, okay, that's fair enough. Right, okay, so let's go to questions. We're going to kick off with Sam Dewhurst. Should we mug off Ozil and commit to Ramsey at number 10 in the hope he signs a new contract? He did once score 20 goals for us in that position. John, your thoughts on that?
Ooh, I've said on here a few times that if we were going to keep one player out of the... because they're always sort of lumped together, Ozil and Alexis, I'd rather keep Alexis and I wouldn't be as upset if Ozil left. I'd still want to keep him because he's still a very good player. I do think he causes problems for the team in terms of, I think his best position is at number 10. It means you are missing a little bit in midfield because he will not be as responsible defensively as perhaps you'd like, especially in the Premier League, because it is different and you do have to be more physical and it is more about how much you can run, that kind of thing. I actually, as good as Ramsey was that season, he was, you know, he was outstanding. I still think he can do that kind of thing. Or you can put in that level of performance. I mean, maybe you won't get that many goals again in a season. He might not. But you can put in that level of performance consistently in other positions in the team. I think tonight he showed how good he can be further up the pitch. But I think, you know, when him and Xhaka, the games they played really well in midfield together, they've played brilliantly. And he's got all the ability to do that. So I don't think you need to get rid of one to benefit the other. If Ozil left, does that mean Ramsey gets a bit more of a free role? Then yeah, maybe. You know, it might be better in the long run. I think Ozil's going to leave at the end of this season anyway, to be perfectly honest. I think he's gone. So people will probably get to see that. The interesting thing we'll see is whether, you know, it's not number 10. It's whether we go to a 4-3-3, basically. We play three men in midfield and, you know, Rambo's the one who's got allowed a little bit more freedom. Not necessarily an out-and-out number 10, but, you know, he can get forward and do naturally what he wants to do. So, yeah, I wouldn't purposefully get rid of either player, in particular Ozil. He annoys me, don't get me wrong. He annoys the fuck out of me, but he's quality when he wants to be. So I'd still try and keep him if you can. You've got zero ambition as a football club if you don't want to keep a player like Mesut Ozil, to be perfectly honest.
I do agree with you. I think Alexis and Ozil are leaving, unfortunately, and that's a bit of a shame. But you know, I do genuinely think that Ramsey's best position is from the middle, not from a number 10 position. I thought he was decent today, but again, you know, there are tougher teams to play. So that's one thing to take into account. Gazman Jones, the great Gazman Jones, asks Carl, 8 p.m. kickoff tonight, 6 p.m. kickoff on Thursday, 1 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Why do the FA and the UEFA want to fuck us with no lube?
Unfortunately, this is what modern football is all about now. It's what happens. It's we haven't had to contend with it because we played in the Champions League for so long, but other teams have had to do this. It's one of these things. Yes, we want maximum rest, of course we do, but unfortunately these players are, and I know we're gonna say, oh, these players are athletes, they should be able to play no matter what, but you've got to count traveling time as well. You know, being on the plane although you're only sitting down, it's tiring. Going into a different time zone, it's tiring. Of course it is. It's something that, you know, we've had to contend with, but not on a Thursday, not short turnaround, but here we are. I just want to say a quick shout out to Dom. Hello, Dom. Hope you enjoyed the game today.
He's with the Fife Star.
He's in the chat.
He's in the chat now, is he?
Yeah, he popped up in the chat, yeah.
Oh, nice. Hello, Dom. He went to the game with Fife. My God, that's a lot of amazing in two seats.
He snuck in the back door. I think he's trying to tell us something.
Hey, nice.
But yeah, that was the question. You know, it's just something that we have to deal with, and you know, this is why we have a squad of players where rotation has to come into it.
Yeah, cool. Okay, I'm gonna stick with you here now, Carl. It's similar to the question asked John just now, but Oscar Arias asks, is the Ozil experiment a bust? He does create a ton of chances, and we have kept saying wait till we have a clinical striker. We have one now, and he almost never plays. Go on, tell me about it.
I think we've got to wait until the season's only 5 games old. You know, he's very young in the season. Wait till we start getting to the middle part of the season, the back end of the season. They will learn how each other plays. They will link up well. You can't just expect these players just to straight away link up and start banging in goals all the time. You know, Lacazette and Ozil will definitely link up well this season, and they will score goals and Ozil will assist. It's going to happen, most definitely. Just give it time. Jason, like John, I think that Ozil will definitely leave this season, just like Alexis, and hopefully we'll get another player in. You know, maybe Ozil's quality, maybe better than Ozil. You don't know. We don't know what's out there. We don't know what's going to happen next season. So, you know, just give it time. Just wait until after Christmas. After Christmas, once the league takes form and once these players are playing with each other, you know, on a regular basis and they know how each other plays, that's when you can start answering that question, but not yet.
Yeah. Okay. Norma Ott put in the box. It's not a question, but nice gesture from the Arsenal for Gareth Barry. They got him a 633 shirt signed by all the players. Gareth Barry deserves that.
It's really nice. It's on, if anyone wants to see it, it's on Arsenal's official Twitter page. It's the picture of him and Arsene Wenger. Very classy. Very typically Arsenal.
And to be fair, I know he's a Tottenham fan and I hated him for that, but Gareth Barry has been a class act on the pitch. Yeah. Nobody take that away from him. I'm going to answer one now, actually. Ryan Cost asks, should Maitland-Niles be ahead of Elneny in selection? No. Is he Maitland-Niles? No, is he Maitland-Niles?
Yeah. Conservative.
Thank you very much. He's a talented youngster, but he's achieved nothing yet in this Arsenal squad. Let him get the minutes. let him grow in confidence and, you know, let him challenge and win the spot. He's done nothing to win the spot yet. And all too often, I think players at the Arsenal sometimes in the last 10 years have had automatic selection. You know, I've enjoyed seeing Ozil on the bench. I've enjoyed seeing Alexis not selected. I think we do need to send a message out that we want players who want to commit long-term to the club. And with the youngsters, they have to understand this is an ultra-competitive league and you have to be competitive to get in into the match day 11. You know, it's a simple thing. Competition breeds performance and these guys have to learn that now. Nobody has a divine right to be in the starting 11. John, Steve-O asks, if Walcott gets a new contract, what is the point of us? I think that's brilliant. I think that's just, do you know what? Okay, our chat box, other than we get the odd racist tosser, okay, and I'll say something about that at the end of this podcast. Our chat box is epic. It's just epic. No, crack on.
That's a great question. I don't know with Theo. He must be sort of looking around at the moment and wondering, I'm not sure I'm going to get to play that often. I'll be interested to see if he starts the Barté game on Thursday, because we were having a chat just before we started the radio about, you know, possible lineups for it and stuff. And I completely forgot. I was like, you got Iwobi as well, who I know he played centre mid in the first one, but it's like he would naturally play as one of the two behind the striker. So it's even more competition for Walcott to get in the team. It's weird because he got the goal, didn't he, in that game, but he didn't really do a lot. And I always moan about him and then he scores. So I suppose that's not a bad thing. So as long as I keep complaining, he'll get goals. But he hasn't done anything this season to warrant getting one. That's for sure. And, you know, I think if... You know, it's very early days for people like Reece Nelson and stuff, and he played at wing back, but he's a forward, really. He's not a wing back. He's just, they're trying to get him in the team to give him minutes. So that's a player who can come into the team. Iwobi will have another season under his belt. You know, if Alexis and Ozil do go, that's a lot of money in terms of wages you can spend to bring in someone else. And Theo's been at the club a long time. He's been frustrating the whole time he's been here. He's has scored a lot of goals, though, to be fair to him, you know. So I don't want to rip into him too much, but I do think his time is done, to be honest. So unless he has an absolute blinder and, you know, really, really knuckles down and works hard, then at the moment he hasn't earned himself the right to get a contract. But we see, you know, it's a long season. He might be the bright spark in the Europa League and really find his form there, and that might be his outlet that gives him the opportunity to maybe negotiate for a new deal.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Carl, final question of the night. I just want to mention Jim Howson. Norm has asked questions. Yeah, there's a load of you. Sorry we can't get through to them all, but we really do appreciate every time you give us a question. 73295. Is the fact that AFC was selling tickets today for the game and hassling us via email all week, plus all the empty seats, a sign of where we are?
Yes and no. I think the fact that it was a Monday game, and I think people just wanting to get home from work, you know, on a Monday, I wouldn't read a lot into it. But the fact that I've noticed that I got an email as well about going to the game, and I didn't really go into it, to be honest, because I was a bit busy. But I think that people are getting pissed off, but why? This season so far, okay, apart from the games away, at home we've been all right. So if this is the way of people's protest, then fine. I don't have a problem with people protesting. If this is their version of a protest, then fine, do what you need to do. But I thought it was strange that usually for love nor money, every Arsenal game's a sellout. And it was strange that I looked, I'm from the TV. And even when I go to the game, you can always say, the ground's quite empty. But from the TV, it looks terrible. It looked really, really bad that how many empty seats there was. But do you know what? The fact of the matter is, Arsenal probably made their money. They've on tickets sold, they probably sold all them tickets. It's just people just not attending the game. So I don't know what else Arsenal will do. Will they lower ticket prices? Very unlikely. Will they give tickets away for free? Very unlikely. Will they put them on general sale? I've never seen Arsenal tickets on general sale ever for a league game, at least. Like I say, if this is a protest, then do what you need to do. Protest all the way. You know, it's fine. It's better than having a megaphone outside trying to get yourself on TV. You know, you do what you need to do.
Yeah, I think as well, you know, the Monday night game is a big thing. I think it really is. Neil Vergela, Rudy Rastlos, you know, all the regulars are in tonight. And again, we thank you ever so much. Again, we're going to wrap this up now. If you could give us a thumbs up, I'd really appreciate it. Thumbs down if you don't like us, that's fine. Before I say goodbye to the guys, and say goodbye to you in the chat box, I'm going to say the last couple of weeks we've had some pretty horrendous things in the chat box from trolls, whatever you want to call them, racist, anti-Semitic, you know, anti-Islamophobia in this chat box. It's not wanted by us. There's no place for any of us in ABW. None of us think that way. I pity and have contempt for people who think this way. If that is the way you think, fuck off. Go somewhere else. Don't bother listening to us. We don't fucking want you. Okay? We're not here for that crap. We're here to talk about football and enjoy. We've been lucky enough to meet some fantastic people doing this. Okay? This sick, stupid, unintelligent thought process, this view on life, we don't want it. Go away. Don't darken our doors. We're happy carrying on with the brilliant people we've got in this chat box and the brilliant people who listen to us. So that's all I've got to say on that, okay? There's no place for racism here. There's no place for religious intolerance, etc. Fuck off. The only people we like are the people who hate United, Tottenham and Chelsea.
Well said, guys.
thank you. Thank you to everyone in the chat box. You're superb as always. To the people who listen on iTunes, there's been some nonsense in there today from a couple of trolls. That's the reason for that. My big thanks to you, John. Thank you for joining me.
Cheers, Jase. Pleasure as always, mate.
Love talking to you. Another guy I love talking to is Carl. Thank you, buddy. And my apologies for that comment from that fucking idiot troll, okay? You don't deserve that. You are a top man. I love meeting up with you, and I love talking to you on here. Thank you.
Jason, no worries whatsoever.
You are a rock star, bro. 73295, I'd love to meet them. I'd really love to meet them. It would end well. And that's it. So thank you all ever so much. You've been superb. Good night. Look forward to Thursday with Chris, Danny, and Ellis. Take care.